Blog Talk Radio.
The Great Reset, Reclaiming Our Minds. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Please stay with us. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were based in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making peace. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. If you'd like to join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll then be on the Blog Talk Radio website. And if you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming episodes of Dare to Win, please click on the Follow button. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Tenwa Oseyande, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Peace, Brother Tenwa. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. Peace and greetings to you, Sister Q.
Thank you. Am I saying your name right?
You have it as good as it gets.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right. So let's get right to it. Please begin by giving us a flight introduction to yourself, a brief introduction.
So my name is Chenwa Oseande, and I currently reside just outside of Philadelphia in the state of Pennsylvania. Originally, I was born in Latin America, the country of Costa Rica. I've been in the United States for the vast majority of my life. And throughout my entire time in this plane, I've been searching, exploring, adventuring, and lifting back layers to discover who I really am. So here I am today, and this is who I am right now.
Okay, that's awesome. The topic of tonight's discussion is the Great Reset, Reclaiming Our Mind. When you say the Great Reset, Brother Chenwa, what do you mean?
You know, this is something that came to me in 2017. I had an experience in 2017 where, and I have yet to really describe what exactly occurred, and I really don't like to do that because it may, you know, turn some people off, but some would say it was some sort of spiritual experience. And out of that experience, you know, I was compelled, guided to transmit information to my family, which I did for the majority of 2018. Every Sunday we would come together and study and learn. And one of the things that I said to them at that point in 2018 was that between 2018 and 2024, that this system that we're in was going to begin to collapse. And not in the traditional sense, but that it was going to be reset. And I specifically used that word, that it was going to reset, and that we had a very short window of time to get ourselves organized. And prior to that, I'd never used the word reset in that context in terms of, you know, structural changes within a society. But once I used it, I began to gain clarity about exactly what it is. And so when I use the word reset, I am referring to the resetting, going back to the beginning, just as if you would reset a clock or you would reset, you know, any type of cyclic device, you would reset it to the beginning. And so when I refer to reset, I'm referring to the system that we're in. Every element, every area of life in this system is going to be reset back to zero. And a good way to look at this is many of us, most of us, I think, are familiar with, you know, the flood saga that we read about in the Bible. You know, that was an example of a reset. And without getting into the details of the Bible, anyone who's familiar with the Bible knows exactly what happened. You know, the earth was reset by the Creator. And we view that as a natural, you know, natural kind of resetting. So there are natural, you know, resets. The system that we're in, the planetary system that we're a part of, it has its schedule, it has its cycles, and every so often, various levels of resets will occur. But on top of that, we also have man-made resets. So that's, you know, a short version of what I mean by resets.
Okay. So let me ask you, do you think this reset is a man-made reset within the same time period as a natural reset? do you think?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. And this is why this is being referred to as the Great Reset. That because it is more than just a small reset, and on top of a natural reset that is occurring. So to answer your question, yes, it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of a natural cyclical reset that the system goes through, and this particular one happens to be what is known as a great reset or a grand reset or a big reset. And those with more knowledge than the majority of us, they are seeking to take advantage of the knowledge that they have to either position themselves to be advanced at the end of the reset or to confuse the minds of the masses to prevent us from opting out of the system. So, you know, when the planetary system goes through its natural cycles, small, medium, and large resets, we are presented with an opportunity of expansion. We're presented with an opportunity of growth. We're presented with an opportunity of escaping the control mechanism that we've been under.
Okay. I hadn't thought of the reset in that manner, you know, because it seemed to me that we'll use Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, the ones that keep talking about the Great Reset. They don't say it in a term that gives people to think that we have an option, that we can choose to go in a different path. They can take their reset and, you know, they can make their reset, but we don't have to follow their path. We can create a reset of our own. So,
right. You know. So what you're saying is that the ones who we see, you know, in the media talking about this at this time, they are presenting it as if there's only one path forward. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, think about it, right? Now, what they've been talking about is COVID-19. And a lot of people have not been able to link COVID-19 with the reset. And some people think COVID-19 is a totally separate thing. They think either it's natural or it's some sort of agenda to manipulate us. But they haven't really been able to see that all of these things are inseparable, which is why the World Economic Forum and, you know, Klaus Schwab, as you mentioned, in 2020, in April of 2020, they published the book COVID-19, The Great Reset, right? And in that book, they lay out their strategy for taking advantage of what we're going through. And so it becomes a question of the chicken or the egg. Did COVID-19 occur naturally and they're now taking advantage of it and causing us to think that we don't have anything else going on, right? Or, right, or did they create the entire COVID-19 to take advantage of the knowledge that they have, okay? So we have been through let me just back up. The beauty of what's happening now, because I don't when this thing first rolled out, like most people, I was very concerned about it, and I only saw it through a very limited lens. But now that we're 2 years into it, I can say that I view this as a very positive thing, because it truly is an opportunity for those of us who want to open our eyes and look at everything. It's an opportunity for us to make the right choice, because what COVID-19 is showing us, more than anything else that has occurred, at least in my lifetime, for me, it's showing me what's real and what's not real. So we've gone through many resets, but because they were minor ones, we didn't notice that they were resets, okay? So, for example, wars. Okay, most of us, we read history and we study wars and we see them as, you know, military adventurisms to control the resources of the planet and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But we've not really, most people that I know, I don't know anybody who's actually been able to look at these wars and say, oh, this war was actually a reset activity. Because in a reset, think about if you were to break a bone in your body, okay? That mm-hmm. bone is broken, it's fractured. So then you have to go to the doctor and they have to reset it. They put it in the cast so that you can heal, okay? Mm-hmm. A reset, so wars have been used throughout history primarily to fracture the society so that those who run everything are able to reset it to their advantage. And one of the main reasons for war is not for resources. It's really to keep the people confused. It's really to destroy the evidence so that no one is able to really see what's going on. Okay? So if we go back and we look at, you know, because I contend that this whole agenda that we're dealing with right now, it didn't happen in 2020. It didn't start in 2020. It didn't start, you know, 100 years ago. This has been going on for a long time. So if we think that these who are in control, that they just, you know, all of a sudden said, oh, geez, we're going to do this. No, they are familiar with the natural cycles of this place that we live in. Just like we have, you know, 60 seconds in a minute, mm-hmm. we have 60 hours, I mean, we have 24 hours in a day, we have seven mm-hmm. days in a week. These are all cycles. So right. once you understand the cycles, you're able to plan accordingly, right? These are microcycles, daily life cycles. But what about a 100-year cycle, a 200-year cycle, a 1,000-year cycle, or even 26,000-year cycle? So those in control, they know these cycles, and they know that the system naturally will reset itself, okay? But then what they do, mm-hmm. as I said, they actually have been timing their actions based on astronomy, astrology. They do everything based on the cosmic clock. So this is what we're dealing with now.
Right. So they that could be recognized as a reason that ordinary people, we'll say, are discouraged from studying astrology and astronomy and read the signs as well as they could and know what's going on to prevent you from doing that. They tell you stay away from that, it's not real, it's just whatever they call it. And so by and large, we stay away from that. And that's how they get in it. That's one more way they get an advantage over us.
Absolutely. What I've discovered in my life is this. Whatever the mainstream says I should be doing, I immediately do the complete opposite. So when they tell me not to do something, I become more curious about why I shouldn't do that thing.
Exactly.
And then I discover there's more there. So, yeah, they tell us astrology is hocus pocus, all of the ancient sciences, they tell us hocus pocus. But meanwhile, mm-hmm. when you are able to read the signs, you can see that every single thing that is done in this world is done according to the cosmic clock. They don't mm-hmm. do anything. They don't do anything by chance. Everything is timed according to the cosmic clock, according to numbers, gematria, numerology. You know, all the wars, when they start the wars, when they end the wars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it once you start looking at things differently and you start going back in time, you begin to see all the patterns. So the reason why I said, you know, this particular moment now is so powerful is because under such extreme pressure and everything that we're being told, from one day to the next, we're finding out the complete opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've got to ask yourself, wow, what's going on? You know, if you know, the people from the World Economic Forum, and this is not just, you know, one individual. You know, we like to think that the system is controlled by a few people, you know, but
right.
one thing that COVID has shown us that pretty much every single country in this realm is on the same agenda. I mean, you know, there were
mm-hmm.
a couple countries, a few countries, saying, no, we're mm-hmm. not going to go along with this. And then you see what happened to those countries. I mean, I could speak
right.
specifically of, you know, Dr. John Magufuli of Tanzania, you know, he was saying, no, I'm
right.
not going along with this, you know.
Uh-huh.
And now if you pay attention to what's going on in Tanzania, it's like a 360-degree turn. Every country is on the same page. It's not just one individual. It's not Anthony Fauci. These are all low-level people running a script. They're running a script. But
right.
you know, if you go to the World Economic Forum and you just read that website, I encourage the audience to just go to that website and see if you can get through it. You won't be able to get through it. That website probably has more information than Wikipedia. They have everything
right.
laid out. I mean, unbelievable. And they tell you. They say there is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crises. They wrote a book in 2020 referring to COVID-19 as a great opportunity because they have this agenda that has been in place for a long time. This
mm-hmm.
this metaverse digital agenda that they're talking about, they've been rolling this out for the past 30 years, 40 years, through Agenda 21, now Agenda 2030. They've laid out
mm-hmm.
what they want to do. So I want to back up because you talked about, you know, in the previous question about the choice, the opportunity that we have. So
right.
just like with the COVID, I have friends and family members who work, you know, they have to get up and go to work for companies, and these companies were mandating that they had to jab. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was basically writing legal affidavits on their behalf to
mm-hmm.
allow them to opt out of this because I said, you don't have to do any of these things. You don't have
right.
to. So we have an opportunity. Once we peep clearly what is happening and we understand that the system is being reset naturally and we're being called by the Most High, the Almighty Supreme Creator, the original creator of this realm, we're being called to choose. The choice is, do you go along with the narrative that is being presented to you by those who are artificially interfering with this realm, or
mm-hmm.
do you stand your ground and commit to living according to the original divine plan, living as a natural man and a natural woman, right? So this is what a lot of us have been faced with, and because we haven't been paying close attention, many people have made bad decisions. I was just on the phone with a friend of mine, and he just told me that his grandson, attending a university, University of Washington, and he said that his grandson just told him that he had to take the jab in order to attend the university, even though his classes are all online. He has never set foot, his grandfather, the grandfather was upset. He said, I don't know why he did that. Well, because he didn't know. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing to me how many people say, I was forced to take the jab. And it's, no, you weren't forced to take the jab. You were given a choice. And because they have to give you a choice. Now, they can add addendums to the choice and make you think you don't have a choice to mislead you. But you always have to say no. And back to the point that you made, are you going to live as a natural living man or woman, or are you going to follow the track they want to put you on? Once you say no and take a stand as a natural living man or woman, the universe will back you up, I think.
That is absolutely true.
So
you see,
but we've never tested that by and large, you know.
No.
So we don't have any. I'll use the word faith. We don't have faith that we can do the right thing and succeed and come out on top or whatever we want to do. We think we must just acquiesce so things will be okay. And that doesn't work, because the more you, like they say, the more you comply, the more demands they make of you.
Well, it's because, see, the problem that we have, and it's not just, I mean, it's really the beings, and I don't think we're all the same. I don't think all melanated people are the same. I don't think all of the so-called humans on the planet are the same. But
right.
The problem is that fundamentally we don't know who we are. We don't understand how this system works that we're in. See, we've spent a lot of time basically in the third grade, tiddlywinking. And now that we're under pressure because of this thing that's happening, tremendous amounts of confusion. And this is why people lack faith, because they've never tested themselves against the illusion of this system. Okay? But the system that we live in is a system of laws. And the laws are basically constructed based on language, words. And so and I always advise that everybody should have, even if it's just one copy of Black's Law Dictionary, even one copy, preferably get the whole set, but that's a couple $1,000s. And the reason for that is because when you open the book and you go and you look up the word mandate, you come to find out it has no meaning or applicability to you. Somebody is making you an offer, and the mandate becomes binding if you accept it. So these people running around talking about there's a mandate, there's a law, you know. So this is a problem that we just don't know, you know. And so we have to, you know, so the liberation, the freeing of our mind to become a sovereign person, you have to be a responsible adult. You have to take responsibility for your own education. So, and it's not too late. It's not too late. The most important thing to know is these ones that are in control of this place currently, they have absolutely no authority over you. And if you pay attention throughout this entire so-called pandemic, and I've tested it every which way till Sunday. I have not worn a mask.
Right.
I've flown across the country. I go wherever I want to. Mm-hmm. And I told a friend of mine that I think that I've become invisible because they just don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go someplace, I just say, no, I don't wear a mask.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to get into an argument if somebody wants to argue with me and say, well, you can't come into my store or whatever. But it's been 2 years and I refuse. So I've made a decision from the very beginning, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. No, I'm not getting the jab. Yes, I'm committed to my original divine plan. So each of us has to look in the mirror and decide how we want to approach what we're dealing with. But it is an opportunity. It absolutely is an opportunity. And what I will say is that there is a fork. There is a bifurcation. There's a split that's taken place that most of us can now see. Those people who have decided they want to stay in Disneyland, and then those of us who actually have been praying and waiting for the opportunity to embrace a new reality according to the original divine plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide, you know, everybody says, well, when are we going to go back to normal? I mean,
never.
I don't know. We're not going back to normal, you know. So I do want to give you, you know, to kind of give a little bit of historical context in terms of resets and examples of when these occurred and how they were able to facilitate the resets. But I want to also pause so that you can ask me any other questions on this particular thread.
No, we're doing good. I don't see anyone with their hand raised for a question or a comment. So go ahead with
okay.
Want to take
so the way that I've begun to unravel this mystery, and I've always been interested in history. I was always digging back, and a lot of things just never made any sense to me. And I just, you know, I'm pretty relentless, and I continue to study, continue to read. But what really caught my attention was studying architecture, you know, like actually traveling around the country. Anywhere I would go, I would focus on the architecture. If I saw a building that was old, I'd want to know when that building was built, who built it, and so on and so forth, okay? The other thing that I was really curious about was demographics, population demographics. I wanted to always understand, you know, well, how many people were living in a particular locale at a specific time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was much younger, I remember getting into an argument with a young woman who I work with, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And when I look back now, if I could see her today, I would have to tell her that I think she was probably more right than I was. But at that time, I was a college student attending a very elite university, so I thought I knew everything. And she was telling me that, according to the Bible, she said, you know, we've only been here 5,000 years, 6,000 years. And I thought that was sort of crazy. But now when I go back and I examine the history, I'm really questioning my thinking from back in 1982. So the other thing that always puzzled me, so again, architecture, population demographics, and for me, the most perplexing time period, the 1800s. The 1800s, I never understood because I used to read all these stories about various black people and what they were doing, and I never understood because it didn't make any sense. So when you look at a building, when you go and check out architecture, I look at a building. I live in Philadelphia, for example, just out of Philadelphia, and we have the Philadelphia City Hall, and the Philadelphia City Hall was constructed in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Philadelphia City Hall, when it was completed, was the tallest building in the world. It was the largest administrative building in the world. And to this day, it is still the largest masonry building in the world. It's like a, it's like freestanding masonry. In other words, it's built, the foundation is built without any kind of bonding agents, screws. It's a freestanding masonry building. The William Penn statue on the top of that building weighs 53,000 pounds. So I used to always look at the building and say, well, wait a minute. If these people built this building, when they said they built it, how did they do it? Because at that time, they would have been using horses and buggies.
Horses and buggies.
And by the way, the Philadelphia City Hall building, the base walls of that building, 20 feet thick. The stone, the walls, 20 feet thick.
So how did they do it
at that time? But of course, if that was the only building with such, you know, bizarre narratives, I could probably excuse it. But then I dove deeper into architecture. I found you could go to almost any city in America, any town, and you'd find a building that doesn't make any sense, because these people who we're told did all of these things, at that time, there weren't very many of them on the planet. And also at that time, we were told through history that they were fighting hundreds and hundreds of wars.
Right.
So, you know, I sent you, you know, the list of wars between 1500 and 1791, 99, and a list of wars involving the United States. It's unbelievable when you look at this thing and you say, okay, there weren't that many people around. You didn't have the technology. You're fighting wars. You're supposed to be conquering everybody. How do you do all of these things? Well, the war, when you examine the wars, all of these wars were very strategic, and from my investigation, these wars appear to have been nothing more than cleanups during the reset. So I think that we went through a reset in the 1600s, and the last one was in the 1800s. Now, we're familiar with the Civil War, but when you examine the Civil War deeply, the evidence that is presented doesn't fit the narrative, because the damage that we see in the Civil War shows evidence of advanced weaponry. And throughout the 1800s, not only did we have all of these wars, including the Civil War, but we also had hundreds of great fires throughout the United States where these cities were burnt to the ground and rebuilt. Okay? These things, when we look at them in isolation, right, when we read history in isolation, we don't really think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at everything and you look at the pattern, you could see that these wars were reset nodes, because also in the 1800s, we have dozens all over the world of what they call world expositions or great expositions.
Right.
And if you go and study, one of the most famous ones in the United States was the Chicago Greatest Exposition. It's known as the World's Columbian Exposition. And when you look at that thing and you look at what was done there, it just boggles the mind in terms of the scale of the thing. And if it was the only one, it wouldn't be a big deal. But we can see that in the 1800s, between the end of the 1800s and the early 1900s, I really do think that what we're dealing with was the end of the reset. So we get into the 1900s, and we have World War I and World War II, which were, in my opinion, two events to clean up, you know, the resetting of the realm that occurred in the 1800s.
Awesome. Okay. So, Brother Chinua, I'm going to play a commercial for our upcoming ULU's upcoming convention and meeting in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about how we can reclaim our minds, what we need to do going forward from this.
Very well.
Process.
Greetings.
Greetings, Brother Auntie. Habaragani, what's the news?
Kuji Chagalia, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm so glad you called. Let me tell you about a very important event happening for ULU members. Did you know that the annual ULU members meeting and convention is coming up soon?
No, I hadn't heard. Tell me more.
Well, as you know, Us Lifting Us is the premier global economic cooperative community for people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, we're building successful business models that give us capacity to gain significant control of the economics of our community.
Yes, I know. And I agree wholeheartedly about this approach to nation building. Tell me more about the annual members meeting and convention.
This year's meeting will be virtual again due to COVID-19, but we're planning a live online event for members to interact with each other, get to know each other, and get to know more about the ULU plan and some important recent initiatives like real estate and cryptocurrency.
Sounds exciting. I want to be there. What do I need to do?
Simply go to usliftingus.com, and that is USLIFTINGUS.com, and register there. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the convention, you can sign up there as well.
That sounds easy enough to do. I'm on it right now.
And all ULU members can do that right now. Show your support for ULU. Register now at
Us Lifting Us.com.
That's Us Lifting Us.com.
Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Weekly Radio Program, where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people globally and how we're to do it. Tonight, I'm talking to Brother Chinua. And Brother Chinua, it seems like in speaking of how we can reclaim our mind and put things, go in our own, you know, go in the direction we want to go as a result of this reset. What did you have, what do you think are some of the things that we need to do?
Okay. So, you know, the one thing that I would say is that the system that we're in, it is, I don't understand completely, you know, how this realm functions, but it appears to be almost like a living thing that we are in, and the heavenly bodies, you know, what they call planets, these luminaries, the stars, all of these heavenly bodies, they affect this system that we're in on a very deep level, on an electromagnetic level. We are electromagnetic beings, and this system that we're in, it is electromagnetic in nature. So the natural part of the reset that has taken place has to do with the sun. The sun has entered, as of 2020, January of 2020, it entered what is called, what is known as a grand solar minimum. And this grand solar minimum, this particular one, is a 33-year cycle that's scheduled to last through 2053. And throughout this process, the electromagnetic field of the sun, it has changed. The sun has become less active, and that in turn affects the earth that we're living in. So it appears to me that there's some sort of automatic upgrade of the life forms in this place. The ones who run this place, who are not of this place, they are negatively affected by what is taking place, and they seem to want to get out of here. So even if we don't do anything, the bare minimum, right? Even if you do the bare minimum, by virtue of being in this realm, your genetic material being upgraded, which is why I find it interesting that the technology that they're offering supposedly alters your genetic material. Okay, but that's for everybody to figure out whether they want to do that. So in terms of what we can do, first of all, as I said, you must make a commitment to stand your ground. In order to do that in a very deep way, you have to really, if you haven't already, discover more of who you really are. You have to get into learning about yourself. You have to begin to detach yourself as much as possible from this digital reality. Unfortunately, even tonight, we're using the digital technologies, but we have to get back to the basics. You know, as an example, I use my mobile phone, but I don't take it with me when I leave the house. I don't walk around with the mobile phone. First of all, it's their device, okay? It's their device for keeping track of me. Mm-hmm. So I don't take it with me when I go anywhere, okay? So that's number one. Wean yourself off of the technology and get in touch with yourself, okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, get back to being a real natural man and woman. Begin to eat real living foods, okay? The foods that we need at this time must be electric in nature and full of minerals. If you look at everything that they're telling us with this pandemic, those of us who have the worst health are the ones who are suffering. So health is going to be the most important thing going forward, because even if you don't have anything, if you have your health, you're going to be way further ahead. You'll have a clarity of mind. You'll be able to figure things out. So begin to eat real foods. Begin to limit and reduce the amount of foods that you eat. Learn how to fast, you know, even if it's once a month. Stop eating just once a month. Fast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Drink good water. Drink good water. Commit yourself to building relationships with people, real relationships with real living men and women. Commit yourself to discovering and building a relationship with the Creator, okay? Build a network of people of like minds. Develop a plan. Develop a plan, an emergency plan. Because, for example, during the grand solar minimum, the weather is going to be very unusual. See, they already know this, which is why they are pushing the climate change nonsense. Okay.
Right.
So when the sun becomes less active, it gets the weather, it's going to get colder. So begin to plan. Have an emergency plan. Have an emergency kit. Okay. Begin to minimize your expenditures. Take your money and start lumping it and bringing it together with like-minded people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Start growing food, okay? Get a land, get a community garden with your neighbors. Start experimenting with how to live naturally. So, because what you want to do is to reclaim power and energy from the system. Stop leaking your energy by being dependent on the grocery stores. We're going to be going through some very difficult processes over the next few years where we're already supply chains. You know, everybody's starting to see and hear supply chain issues with food, with everything. So we must begin to see that this is not, and we already know that there's no such thing as a lack. There's nothing lacking in this realm. It's all manipulated to the benefit of those who have the agenda. So we just have to figure out how to get around it.
I like what you're saying, about, particularly about there is no lack, because in an effort to get us to not do what we can do at the best level that we can do it, we've been hearing, you know, we have to cut back on this and deny ourselves that and not have the others, not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. And it is enough, and they show you that it's enough. As they're telling you, it's not. So we have to, I think, stop listening so much to what they say. And
you're absolutely correct.
Watch how they demonstrate that there is an abundance of everything here. I think that's one of the most important things you can do, is not listen to what they have to tell us to do, because they're trying to kill you. So why would you take advice from them?
You know, I don't watch television, turn on the television. The only media that I consume is media that I choose to consume because I've decided it's going to move me forward in some way.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't consume media. I don't consume fear. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This system that we're in is an abundant, you know, the Creator, there's no lack in the mind of the Creator. And so therefore there's no lack within the system. We have to shift our mind. So, you know, it sounds maybe woo-woo or maybe even too simplistic, but it really isn't, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think that this whole 2 years has shown us, little by little, we're being given a gift, because sometimes we're busy talking about the parasites and we're throwing all sorts of arrows out there. But in fact, we're being given a gift.
Uh-huh.
We're being shown what time it really is, and we're being shown what it is that we need to do. And so we just to commit to living at a very simple level and to reconnecting with each other.
I think that's very important, and I think that Ulu is an example, I would say, of people trying to come together to do these things. So,
absolutely.
You know, so people can, I guess, in the last few minutes, go to usliftingus.com and look around and see how you can fit into the Ulu model. It's, I think, space for everyone there. And we have to know that we could do what it is, what we need to do for our survival, and not just for survival, to thrive and go forward in this time period as we come out of this reset.
Yeah, you know, again, if we just have to look at history differently, but the evidence is once you know what's really going on, then your focus should be, okay, how do I make it through? Because the ones who make it through are the ones who are going to inherit the kingdom. But I'm not talking about inheriting and making it through, you know, so that you can go through with the crazies, because again, it's really, there's a fork. And when I say make it through, I'm talking about that we're going to, the ones who survive by standing their ground are going to be taking that right-hand turn. You know, when we look at history and we think that the ancient civilizations, they all just died off and all of this, I'm starting to think that that's not really what happened, and that we've been through this before. And as we're tested as a species in this realm, the ones who make it through, they are elevated to a totally new reality. So I'm not talking about making it through with the crazies who are trying to manipulate the reality. They are going to get their own judgment, and I don't want any parts of that.
Right.
So I'm talking about that when you make the right choice, because no matter how much you think you have or don't have right now, when you make the right choice, according to the original divine plan, you're going to be guided and you will be among those inheriting the new world. But in order to do that, you have to clean yourself up. You have to prepare yourself. So.
Right. Well, I want to thank you, Brother Chinua, for joining us tonight and giving us a different perspective on the Great Reset, because I think anybody that has been listening to the Mockingbird Media has been terrorized for 2 years. And we had an opportunity tonight to get another way of looking at it. So I want to thank everyone who joined us this evening. We will be back next Thursday at 9 o'clock for another installment of Dare to Win. And we hope that you'll come back and take us deeper down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'm available at any time. Thank you so much, and I enjoyed being here with you.
Okay. Thank you. Peace.
Peace.
We have been beholden to a venomous fabrication of our embellished lives that has started with those little
lies that drift dry droppings of seeded untruth, while planting those in-between lies, lined and covered with a stale stench of muck and manure, leaving open the cracks and crevices for those oppressive lies that we keep slipping and sliding in, while continuing to fertilize all other lies that create the great white lie. That strong ascending lie that consciously rises itself above the lowly fields from which it sprang, leaping high into the mouths of fevered mountains, bursting its malevolent manifestation into an explosion of bubbling hot lava on a meanderous path, saturating its infernal roots by slowly and skillfully penetrating and piercing, burning and blistering the souls of black folks, killing our kindred spirits as we lay buried beneath its blanket of oil and devastation amidst the hidden identity of its bottomless base. That already powerful lie that has muscled its way into the center core of our condensed celestial region, causing clouds shaped like mushrooms to materialize into a deformed seething steam of angry vapors, spawning hot acidic rains, descending pure hellish pain, while scalding and searing, singeing and scorching the souls of black folks, eliminating the true essence of our existence as we continuously disappear into its whirlpool and are immersed in the turbulent clutches of its eternal deception. And as it beckons to you to lay your mind gently upon its floor, remember, its only purpose is to perpetrate the growth of itself while stripping you of your solidity, bleaching the bareness of your being, and dissolving you into its damnation. For it truly fears that those among us who have escaped its wrath and are free from its falseness will one day filter the fertility of veracity, unleashing unspoken tremors of truth, subtly freeing its prisoners from their bondage.